ओम शांति 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 वासुदेवेंद्र योगींद्रम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदं गुरुं मुमुक्षूणां हितार्थाय तत्वबोधोभिधीयते. सो दिस् तत्वबोधः मीनिंग नॉलेज ऑफ द ट्रूथ. इफ यू ब्रेक इट इज अ कंपाउंड वर्ड. इफ यू ब्रेक इट तत्वम means the truth, the reality, and bodhaha means knowledge. But tattva bodhaha is a compound word. So knowledge of what? Tattvasya bodhaha. Make it two different words. Tattvasya bodhaha. Like Ramasya Patni Sita. तत्वस्य बोधः तत्वबोधः नॉलेज ऑफ द ट्रूथ एंड दिस इज अ वेदांतिक ट्रीटाइस अ वेदांतिक मैनुअल व्हेन यू से वेदांतिक मैनुअल वेदांतिक ट्रीटाइस इट इज अ स्मॉल टेक्स्ट वेर इन The entire Vedantic teaching is explained, all the technical terms used in Vedanta Shastram are here explained, presented in a simple language, easily understandable manner. It's not the original text, but it's a text written by Acharya, wherein the teaching is, it presents exactly the contents of the Vedantic teaching. And the only verse we have in the beginning, the rest of the text is in simple prose form. The only verse we have. And this is also a benedictory verse. The teacher, the author of the text, begins his work with this prayer. It's a prayer. And what is the prayer? Actually, prayer means he doesn't even pray for anything. He offers his, the author offers his salutations to Bhagavan in the form of his own teacher, Guru. And this offering salutations to Bhagavan in the form of his own Guru is actually invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of a Guru in order to be able to successfully complete the text. So even if a person wants to write something or say something, if he has to complete what he wants to do, completion of any work is purely dependent on the grace of the Lord, which means one's efforts alone will not be enough. Therefore, in our tradition, in Vedic tradition, before writing or doing anything, we always invoke the grace of the Lord in order not to have any obstacles. So that the author would be able to complete it without any hindrance. Impediments. And I said, Vasudevendraha, Vasudevendra Saraswati must have been the guru of the author. We only assume from this verse Vasudevendra. And he must have been a monk associated with Kanchi Mutt order. He must have come in the order of Kanchi Mutt. A mutt. Mutt means the school in Kanchipuram, a place in South India, in Tamil Nadu. So he says, Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva. First Natva. I wanted to understand the meaning of this word Natva. Namati is the verb. Nam is the root. Namati is the verb which means bows. So Natva is an indeclinable participle. Natva, like gachati, gatva, patati, patitva, likhati, likhitva. It's an indeclinable participle. Like that, namati, natva. So natva means having bowed to whom Vasudevendra Yogindram natva. So having bowed to the Yogindra, the exalted among of the Munis, known as Vasudevendra, having bowed to my teacher, the Bhagavan of my teacher. And who is this Vasudevendra, whom I bowed to? Is a Jnanapradaha Guruhu. Jnanapradaha, Jnanam Pradadati Iti Jnanapradaha. Jnanam Pradadati. Jnanam Dadati. Pradadati gives knowledge. Pradaha means giver, bestower. Pradadati, dadati means gives. Pradaha means bestower, giver. And this exalted of the saints, known as Vasudevendra, is the bestower of knowledge. Therefore, having bowed to the teacher, Vasudevendra, bestower of knowledge, and he is Guruhu. The bestower of knowledge alone can be meant by the term Guruhu. Nowadays, the word Guruhu is very easily used. Computer Guru, Music Guru, Natya Shastra Guru. Guru means whoever teaches anything is called Guruhu. Actually speaking, Guru is a teacher, but all teachers are not Gurus. Why? Because here, the letter Gu stands for ignorance, Ru stands for the removal, dispelling. The one who dispels the darkness of ignorance is called Guruhu. And ignorance of what? Ignorance of the very self. Ignorance of the truth. That this one who dispels the darkness of ignorance of the self or ignorance of the reality is called Guruhu. And he is the bestower of knowledge. Therefore, he is Guruhu because he dispels the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, Vasudevendra Yogindram Namami, Jnanapradam Namami, Gurum Namami. All these words are in objective case, second case. Yesterday we were seeing in Sanskrit class. Vasudevendra Yogindram Namami, Jnanapradam Namami, Gurum Namami. Now if you take it, I bow to the teacher, exalted among saints, known as Vasudevendra, the bestower of knowledge, the dispeller of ignorance. So adjectives for the word Vasudevendra. Natvat natva. First I bow to him. Having bowed to him, then what do I do? What is done by me here? So we'll see next line. Vasudevendra yogindram natva jnana pradam gurum mumukshunam hitarthaya tatva bodho vidhiyate. And here mumukshunam hitarthaya tatva bodho vidhiyate. You break that sentence, you find the verb abhidhiyate. Abhidhiyate means is presented. Dadhati and prefix is abhidadati means presence. Dadhati means places. But abhidadati, it is not dadati, it is dadhati. Dadati means gives, but dadhati means places. If you add the prefix abhi, abhidadhati presents. And abhidhiyate is a passive verb, is presented. Abhidhiyate is presented. And what is presented? Tattva bodho abhidhiyate. Tattva bodha abhidhiyate. This text book is presented. The textbook with the title Tattva Bodha, having the subject matter of the knowledge of the truth, is presented. Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate. How is it presented? Having bowed to the great saint, sage, exalted sage, known as Vasudevendra, bestower of knowledge, remover of ignorance, this textbook known as Tattvabodha is presented. Why is it presented? What is the purpose of presenting it? For whose sake is it presented? Mumukshunam hitarthaya. Hitartham. Hitam means welfare, wellness. Hitartham, for the welfare of. Hitarthaya, for the good of. For the good of, for the welfare of, for the wellness of, for the good of whom? Mumukshunam. Kesham hitarthaya. Mumukshunam hitarthaya. For the good of. Hitarthaya, for the good of mumukshus. For the good of those who are desirous of accomplishing moksha. For the good of those who are desirous of freedom, liberation. Mumukshunam hita arthaya ஹிதார்த்தாய தத்துவ போதஹ அபிதீயத்தே. இட் இஸ் நாட் பிரசன்டெட் அஸ் மெக் சிம்பிளி thoughtfully, carefully, prudently, first having invoked the grace of the Lord in the name of teacher, having bowed to him, this book is presented. Therefore, it should serve the purpose. It should be completed successfully. And the people who read this book also should benefit from the teaching. And I already explained to you, the word mumukshuhu is a desiderative word, which means the one who is desirous of freedom, mokshaha, liberation. மோக்தும் இச்சா யஸ்ய சஹ முமுக்ஷுஹு. மோக்தும் மீன்ஸ் டு பி ஃப்ரீ. மோக்தும் மீன்ஸ் டு பி ஃப்ரீ. மோக்தும் இச்சா இஸ் ஈக்வல் டு முமுக்ஷா. Desire to be free is mumuksha. And the one who has desire to be free, one who is desirous of being free, is known as mumukshuhu. Mumuksha yasya saha mumukshuhu. So, moktum iccha mumuksha, mumuksha yasya saha mumukshuhu. And mumukshuhu is a ukarantaha pullinga shabdaha. It's a masculine gender word ending in vowel u. If you decline that word in possessive plural form, it is mumukshunam. So, mumukshunam is a possessive plural form, plural case form, possessive case form, plural possessive case form of the word mumukshuhu. Therefore, mumukshunam hitarthaya, for the good of those who are desirous of freedom, who is desirous of accomplishing, attaining freedom, this Tattva Bodhaha, the textbook, which is Tattva, the knowledge of the truth, the textbook with the title Knowledge of the Truth, is presented. Now, I have completed the meaning of every word here. Now you can chant the verse because we'll move on to next lesson. Vasudevendra Yogendram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mumukshunam Hitarthaya Tattva-bodho-bhidhiyate. Now, having completed the first verse as part of the text, the piece, the benedictory verse, the benedictory verse is called Mangala-vachaka-shlokaha. Mangala-vachaka-shlokaha. A peace invocation, a verse of benediction. Now enter into the actual text. So, the author of the book, we do not know exactly who is the author of the book. We only know the author of the book must have been the disciple of Vasudevendra Saraswati. And he, before he enters into the unfoldment of the nature of the reality, he first presents the qualifications required for the attainment of knowledge. Knowledge of the truth is the subject matter of the textbook. Therefore, name of the textbook also is knowledge of the truth, Tattva Bodha. But before entering into the actual subject matter of the book, as part of the teaching, the author first introduces the qualifications expected or required on the part of the student who wants to attain the knowledge. Let us read the sentence. It's one sentence. It's one long sentence. Please listen. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. Together when you read, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. This is how we break the sentence. We break this word. It's one word. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. If we read together, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. Moksha sadhana bhutam. Moksha sadhana bhutam. Next word. One compound word. Finished. Second compound word. Moksha sadhana bhutam. Third word. Tattva viveka prakaram. Tattva viveka prakaram. Vakshyamaha. See, it's one long sentence. It's a sentence having four words. The three compound words are there. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannadhikarina moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. I want you to follow the Sanskrit text and listen to the text when I'm reading and say after me when I finish saying. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. Moksha sadhana bhutam. Moksha sadhana bhutam. Tattva viveka prakaram. Tattva viveka prakaram. Vakshyamaha. So, you'll take the verb first. The teacher says, Vakshyamaha. Vakshyamaha, first person plural future tense verb. We shall speak. We shall say. We shall tell. We shall expound. We shall explain. Vakshyamaha. So even though he is going to teach, again, in the tradition, in our culture, we always use plural expression. We. Why? Because the teacher doesn't want to say, I am teaching. All the teachers before me taught. So all the teachers, we teachers teach. Therefore, Vakshyamaha, we shall explain, we shall expound. And what shall we expound here? Please listen. Tattva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. So, Vayam Tattva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. Yesterday we practiced second case. A Tattva Viveka Prakaram is objective case, isn't it? Vayam is understood. Vayam is implied. Tattva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. So we shall explain, expound Tattva Viveka Prakaram. So Tattvasya Vivekasya Prakaram Vakshyamaha. So Prakaraha means the method, the mode, the means, the procedure, prakaraha, noun, and prakaram vakshyamaha. So we should explain the method. Method of what? Method of discerning, differentiating, discriminating, the method of discerning. Vivekasya prakaram vakshyamaha. So viveka prakaram. And the method of discerning what? Discerning what? The method of discerning, distinguishing, differentiating the truth. Tattvasya vivekasya prakaram vakshyamaha. Tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. We shall explain the method of discerning the truth, the reality. We shall explain the method of discriminative understanding of the reality. Tattvasya vivekasya prakaram vakshyamaha. Tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. So when you say tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha, until now the teacher points out what he is going to teach, the method of discerning the truth, the reality. What is it required for? The method of discerning the truth. What is it required for? That question is answered with the next word. Moksha sadhana bhutam. This method of discerning the truth is the means of the attainment of freedom. So we shall explain the method of discerning the truth. And discerning the truth, having discriminative understanding of the truth, is the means of attaining moksha. Therefore, moksha sadhana bhutam. Mokshaya sadhanam. Moksha sadhanam. Mokshaya sadhanam. Moksha sadhanam. The means for attaining freedom. The means for discovering freedom. What is the means of discovering freedom? this having a discriminative understanding of the truth or discerning the truth is the means of attainment of moksha. For moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. This method of discerning the truth, which serves as the means of attainment of moksha, is taught for whom? For whose sake this method of discerning the truth is presented? Sadhana chatushtaya sampannadhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tattiveka prakaram vakshyamaha. It is adhikarinam. Adhikarinam means those who are eligible, those who are qualified are said to be adhikarinaha. So adhikarinam for them. And who are the adhikaris? Who are the people who are qualified, who are eligible? Who are the adhikaris? It is said, sampannana, sampanna adhikarana. Those people who are eligible or qualified for the attainment of knowledge must be adhikaris are those who are endowed with fourfold qualification. Sampanna means fortunate to have. Those are endowed with. Sampanna, those are endowed with. Sampanna is a participle. So endowed with what? Endowed with fourfold qualification. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. So adhikaris, the eligible people are those who are endowed with the wealth of fourfold qualification. So sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. Now I already said sadhanam again means or qualification. Chatushtaya means a set of four or fourfold qualification. So here we have to understand how the Tattva Bodha writer, the author, begins his teaching. First, he introduces this text called Tattva Bodha, presenting an opening verse and presenting the qualifications required for knowledge. So the first sentence, the teacher, the author makes it very clear. In fact, he mentions the subject matter which is going to be covered in the text. And the second, he mentions the purpose of studying this text. And thirdly, qualifications. The eligible students. He mentioned the eligible students for whose sake this teaching is presented. So the three important factors mentioned in the first sentence. The main subject matter discussed in the text, he mentions first. Then the purpose of studying the text, he mentions. And the people for whose sake the teaching is presented are those who are endowed with fourfold qualifications. Therefore, the three important factors are mentioned here. So, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam, for the people who are endowed with the fourfold qualifications and the method of discerning the truth, we explain, and this method of discerning the truth serves as a means of accomplishing moksha, freedom. Is made very, very clear. And when you say, important thing we have to remember here is, you have already covered the introduction to Vedanta. Therefore, tattvam means the truth, the reality. But here, tattvam, the truth, the reality should be understood as one's own real nature. One's own swarupam or one's own self. The truth is otherwise said to be the very self. The self of everything. One's own self, the self of everything. The truth is, tattvam is nothing but one's own real nature, implied by the term Atma. So, Tattva Bodha means Atma Bodha, Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge. What is Atma? Atma is a word implying one's own real nature. Therefore, tattva bodha means atma jnanam. We also say self-knowledge, which means knowledge of one's own real nature, knowledge of the essential nature of everything. Now, if we take next the word vivekaha. Vivekaha means vivichya jnanam. Vivichya jnanam vivekaha. Discriminative understanding. Discerning. So how can we discern? How can we have the discriminative understanding? Only by analyzing we can have discriminative understanding. Therefore, the word vivekaha also should be understood as what? Analyzing, analysis, inquiry, discriminative knowledge, discriminative understanding, discerning implies inquiry, analysis. Analysis of what? Discriminative understanding of what? Discriminative understanding of the truth, the self, one's own real nature. Therefore, tattva vivekaha, when you say the discriminative understanding of the truth, one's own real nature, or analysis of one's own real nature, enquiry into the nature of one's own self. So Tattva Vivekaha means, you can say what? Enquiry into the nature of one's own self. Or enquiry into the nature of the self, the Atma. Analysis of one's own real nature is actually discriminative understanding of the self. Okay. Now here, what is present, what is going to be discussed in the text is the method, prakaraha. So the method of analyzing the nature of the one's own real nature. The method of discriminative understanding of the self. The method of inquiry into the nature of one's own self. Is tattva viveka prakaraha. Tattvasya vivekasya prakaraha. Tattva viveka prakaraha. Nominative. In objective case, tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. So once we understand the method of inquiring into the nature of the self, once you know the method of analyzing the nature of the self, this analysis will result in the attainment of knowledge. Enquiry into the nature of the self will result in the self-knowledge. Which means, enquiry into the nature of the self will help one understand one's own self. Which means, there is already naturally ignorance of the self. There is ignorance of the ignorance of the self. And this analysis will help one understand the ignorance of the self. And thereby it will help one resolve the ignorance of the self. And it will help one attain the knowledge of the self. Now we understand what is being discussed in the text. The subject matter of the text is what? The method of analyzing and arriving at the nature of the self. Now, why should we analyze the nature of the self? Why should we have the discriminative understanding of the self? It must serve a given purpose. What is the prayojanam? What is the purpose of attaining this knowledge? That is said here. Moksha sadhana bhutam. So self-knowledge is the means of discovering freedom. Mokshaya sadhanam. Sadhanam means for or means of attaining freedom. Mokshaya sadhanam. For liberation, for freedom from limitations, for freedom from bondage, for freedom from sorrow. This knowledge is the only means. Therefore, the self-knowledge accomplishable through self-enquiry is the only means of attaining freedom. Therefore, the purpose of the attainment of knowledge also is mentioned in the next sentence. Moksha sadhana bhutam. Knowledge is the means of attaining freedom. Because knowledge itself is freedom. So we want moksha. For moksha, we need a means. And that means is self-knowledge. And for self-knowledge, we should inquire into the nature of the self. And to inquire into the nature of the self, we need to know the method. We do not know the method of self-inquiry. Therefore, we do not know we are ignorant of the self. Therefore, we do not know how to know the self. Therefore, the method of inquiring into the nature of the self will help us understand the self-ignorance and also attain self-knowledge. And once self-knowledge is there, self-knowledge is the means of attaining moksha. The purpose is also mentioned. Then, third point mentioned is, and this method of self-inquiry for the self-knowledge, which serves as a means of attainment of freedom, is for those who are endowed with fourfold qualifications. So, adhikarinam. I already said, adhikaraha means eligibility, qualification. Please remember, adhikaraha, noun, adhikaraha, eligibility, qualification. Adhikari, eligible, qualified. Adhikarinam, adhikari is a nakarantaha, pullingaha, adhikarin shabdaha. Therefore, adhikarinam is what? Possessive plural. Adhikarinam, possessive case, sixth case, plural form. Nakaranta shabda, consonant ending word. Adhikarin, adhikari, adhikarinau, adhikarinaha. And possessive plural is adhikarinam. So for those who are qualified. And qualified means what? Qualified person is adhikari. Adhikarinam for those who are qualified. Who are those who are qualified, who are eligible? Who are sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. Those who are endowed with fourfold qualification are the eligible people. Now when the teacher says this much, and we have to assume there are students sitting in front of the teacher and who have heard this one sentence, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tatva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. And there must be students sitting, and the student should ask, what are those fourfold qualifications? So immediately, whatever they do not understand, they have to ask. They understood what is being taught. Okay. The method of analyzing the nature of the self is taught, that they understood. And this is for self-knowledge, they understood. And the self-knowledge is for moksha, they understood. But it is taught for those who are qualified, means what are the qualifications? They are very keen to know. Therefore, the next question comes. Look at this. We assume one of the students who is sitting in front of the teacher is asking this question. Sadhana chatushtayam kim. See, sadhanani kani. Chatvari sadhanani kani. What are the four qualifications? Chatvari sadhanani kani. Instead of asking like that, he is asking sadhana chatushtayam kim. Chatushtayam means a set of four. For sadhana chatushtayam. Now Dasharathasya putra chatushtayam asid. Dasharathasya putra chatushtayam asid. What does it mean? He had a group of four. Like that, chatushtayam, a set of four. You can either ask what? You can say, sadhana chatushtayam kim, or you can also ask, chatvari sadhanani kani. Okay. Now first, the teacher gives an answer now. We'll see the literal meaning first. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. You can memorize the book. I really want you to memorize the Tattva Bodha. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. First qualification. Second qualification. Iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. Iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. Iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. Third qualification. Shamadhi shatka sampattihi. Shamadhi shatka sampattihi. Fourth qualification. Mumukshutvam cheti. Mumukshutvam cheti. So this is the answer. What is the question? Sadhana chatushtayam kim? What is a set of fourfold qualification? Answer is given. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Iha mutrartha palaboga viragaha. Samadhi shatka sampattihi. Mumukshutvam cheti. Now let me see one by one. The teacher just has given a list of fourfold qualification. You break the first sentence. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya, anitya, nitya, nitya. Nitya plus anitya, nitya, nitya. Nitya, anitya, vastu, vivekaha. Nitya, anitya, vastu, vivekaha. Nitya, anitya, vastu, vivekaha. So already we have understood the meaning of the word vivekaha. So vivekaha, even that implies analysis. Vivekaha means discriminative understanding or clear knowledge. So discriminative understanding, which means if we do not have clear understanding, if our understanding involves confusion, if our thinking is involved confusion, then definitely we need to have discriminative understanding. Therefore, discriminative understanding of Nitya and Anitya. Discriminative understanding of permanent and impermanent. Nitya, permanent, Anitya, impermanent. Discriminative understanding of timeless and time bound. Discriminative understanding of eternal and ephemeral. So what is everlasting? What is timeless? What is eternal? What is permanent? And what is time bound? What is ephemeral? What is impermanent? What discriminative understanding of Nitya and Anitya? We do not have that understanding now. So what do? Once we do not have a clear understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent, what is eternal and what is ephemeral, what do? We get confused. Confused means what do? We mistake the impermanent for the permanent. We mistake the ephemeral for the eternal. Therefore, we mistake the permanent for the impermanent. Therefore, we need to have what is permanent, everlasting, and what is time bound. What is changeless and what is subject to change. We need to know. Therefore, Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. So, Vivekaha is discriminative understanding of the permanent and the impermanent. Timeless and the time bound is the literal meaning, understanding here. So, why should we have this understanding? We'll see that later on again. We'll go to next one. Iha mutrartha phala bhoga viragaha. He is going to ask again. Again, Sundar is going to ask the question. It's going to be explained. So, iha mutrartha phala bhoga viragaha. If you break it, iha plus amutra, iha plus amutra, iha mutra, iha amutra, iha mutra, artha phala, amutra plus artha, amutra artha, iha amutra artha. Phala bhoga viragaha. Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. You know, here viragaha, like how you have vivekaha, is a masculine gender noun, like Ramaha, Krishnaha, Govindaha. Vivekaha is masculine noun. Similarly, viragaha is also masculine noun. Vivekaha, discriminative understanding. Viragaha means dispassion. Vigata ragaha. Ragaha means attachment, passion. We add the prefix V, it changes the meaning. Ragaha, passion, attachment. Viragaha, devoid of attachment means dispassion. So second qualification is dispassion. So dispassion towards what? This is iha amutra artha phala viragaha. Iha means here. Iha is an indeclinable word. Indeclinable word which means here. Amutra means hereafter. Iha means here. Amutra means hereafter. Artha means artha kamas. It means generally it means pleasures. So if you say artha should go with both the words. Iha amutra artha. So iha artha and amutra artha. It means pleasures enjoyable in this life while living this, living in this world. Pleasures enjoyable in this world while living in this world. It's called iha artha. And pleasures enjoyable later in future. After the death. In higher worlds is called amutra artha. So pleasures enjoyable in this world while living here is called iha artha. Amutra artha means what? Pleasures enjoyable, heavenly pleasures enjoyable later in future after the death. See, only in our culture it is made very clear. Pleasures are enjoyable while living here in this world. Pleasures are enjoyable even after death in higher worlds. So, iha artha and amutra artha. So, together we say iha, iha mutra artha. And this pleasures, the word artha in this context means pleasures. So, the pleasures enjoyable in this world while living here, the pleasures enjoyable later in future, and these pleasures always are accomplished as a result of our actions. Phalam, phalam means what? Result. Phalam means result, the fruit. So the pleasures enjoyable here now, pleasures enjoyable later on, and all these pleasures are accomplished as a result of, as the fruits of one's actions, one's own efforts. Therefore, iha mutrartha phala. Then, bhogaha. Bhogaha. See, phalam is a neuter gender word, you know. Bhogaha is also a masculine noun. Bhogaha means enjoyment. So, viragaha means dispassion, disinterest. Therefore, iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha means bhoge viragaha bhoga viragaha. Disinterest, dispassion towards the enjoyment of results or fruits of one's actions, obtaining in the form of the pleasures enjoyable here or hereafter. So dispassion or disinterest in enjoying interest in enjoyment of results of one's actions, obtaining in the form of pleasures enjoyable here now in this world or hereafter. So, iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. And those pleasures are what? Are phalani, results of actions, fruits of one's own actions, one's own hard work, hard-earned pleasures. And there's in enjoying the results of one's activities in the form of obtaining them of one's the pleasures enjoyable here and hereafter, there is no interest. So not having interest or having grown out of desire for enjoyment of results of actions obtaining in the form of pleasures enjoyable here or hereafter is the second qualification. I'm only giving you the literal translation. Okay, we are going to understand thoroughly these fourfold qualifications later on. I'm not unfolding each and every word. I'm only giving you the literal meaning of the words now, because I want you to memorize Sattva-Bodha as I continue to teach. Next class, you must memorize these few sentences. So, iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. So, having grown out of desire for the enjoyment of fruits of actions obtaining in the form of pleasures enjoyable here in this world and hereafter. Is iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. Next qualification is what? Shamadi shakka sampattihi. Shamadi shakka sampattihi. Here, Shama Adi. Adi means etc. Shakkam. Like how you learnt Chatushtayam, you have to learn the word Shakkam. Shakkam. Shakkam means a set of six. Shat means six. Shatkam means set of six. And what is set of six here? Disciplines. Six disciplines. Shat. Shatka. Shatkam. Set of six. And here, what sampat Sampattihi is said. Sampat, sampattihi is a feminine gender word which means wealth, Lakshmi. Sampattihi means prosperity, wealth, Lakshmi. And here, being endowed with these disciplines itself is being endowed with the wealth. The sixfold disciplines said to be a wealth, is a wealth, great wealth. If you are disciplined, you have the wealth of discipline. Discipline is wealth because it will help you accomplish the much greatest wealth of knowledge, which is freedom. And Shama Adi Shakka Sampattihi means wealth of sixfold discipline, such as Shamaha. He does not enumerate the sixfold disciplines. He does not enumerate what those six disciplines are. But he just says, wealth of sixfold discipline such as Shamaha or Shamaha etc. And let us see here. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. I'll repeat it. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. We are going to see each qualification again. Elaborately, we are going to see. Now, I'm only giving you the literal translation of each qualification as enumerated by the author as an answer to the question. Instead of enumerating all the six, he starts with the Shamaha and he adds this expression Adi. Shama Adi, Shama etc. Sixfold discipline. The wealth, sixfold wealth he says. Shatka Sampattihi he says. The wealth of sixfold discipline such as Shamaha. I want you to know the synonym of these, or synonyms of these words. Shamaha is a masculine noun. The equivalent word is Shantihi. Shamaha is equivalent to Shantihi. You can either say Shamaha or Shantihi. Damaha, Dantihi. Damaha, masculine noun. Dantihi, feminine noun. Both mean the same. Shamaha, Shantihi. Damaha, Dantihi. Third discipline. Uparamaha. Or Uparatihi. Uparamaha is equal to Uparatihi. Uparamaha, Uparatihi. The Titiksha is a feminine gender noun. Titiksha. So Shraddha is a feminine noun. Samadhanam is a neuter noun. Samadhanam. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. For a person to be self-disciplined, for a person to have self-integration, he must have these sixfold factors. And the sixfold factors together are said to be sixfold wealth. Shatka Sampattihi. So Shamaha or Shantihi means mental discipline, mastery over one's ways of thinking, thoughts. And Damaha, mastery over one's sense organs. So sensory discipline. Damaha means sensory discipline. Mental discipline, sensory discipline. Uparamaha, we are going to elaborately see again. Time being, you can say Uparamaha means withdrawal from unnecessary activities. commitment to one's own duties. Titiksha means endurance. What is endurance? We will see next class. Titiksha, Shraddha. Titiksha, endurance, tolerance. Shraddha means faith. Faith in what? We'll see next class. Shraddha is faith, unflinching faith. And samadhanam, focused attention. Being focused. Samadhanam means being focused. Now we are going to see each and every one, every qualification and every discipline elaborately later on. Well, now you just learn the names, it's enough. Next, what is the fourth qualification? Mumukshutvam cheti. Mumukshutvam, I told you already, mokshaha means freedom. Mokshaha is a masculine noun which means freedom, liberation. Mokshaya iccha, moksha iccha, mumuksha. Desire for freedom is mumuksha. You have to learn all these words. Mokshaha means freedom, liberation. Mokshaya iccha or moksha iccha, desire for freedom is mumuksha. And the one who has desire for moksha is mumukshuhu. Mumuksha is noun. Now mumukshuhu, adjective, is it? The one who has desire for freedom is mumukshuhu. Mokshaha, mumuksha, then mumukshuhu. Mumukshuhu ukarantaha pullingaha mumukshu shabdaha. Mumukshuhu means the one who is desirous of freedom. One who wants to be free is mumukshuhu. Now we are all mumukshavaha. Mumukshuhu, mumukshu, mumukshavaha. You can say aham mumukshuhu. We are all mumukshavaha. Vayam mumukshavaha, aham mumukshuhu. Now, mumukshutvam means having the status of being a mumukshu. It's a noun, mumukshutvam. So mumukshutvam means what? Having the status of being a mumukshu, which means being desperate for the attainment of moksha, having an urge for moksha. If we do not have desire for moksha at all, then there's no purpose, isn't it? The self-enquiry, self-knowledge is needed only if we have desire for moksha. The desire for moksha is not there at all, then self-enquiry, attainment of self-knowledge, effort to attain self-knowledge does not make any sense. Therefore, one of the important qualifications required here is what? To study the Bodha is what? One must have desire for moksha. The mumukshutvam. So having the status of being a mumukshu is called mumukshutvam. Means having a desire for moksha is one of the qualifications. One must have urge for moksha. I want moksha. That urge must be there. That is a qualification. Then cha iti. Cha means and. Iti means thus. These four are the qualifications for self-enquiry, for self-analysis, for discriminative understanding of the truth in terms of self. One must have to understand the method of self-enquiry and attain self-knowledge. One must have fourfold qualification. And the one of the fourfold qualifications for mukshutvam, desire for moksha must be there. Moksha must be there. One must be a mukshuhu. Iti cha iti is the fourfold qualification. Now we have just finished. We know fourfold qualifications. We'll see elaborately each and every qualification in next class. And before you come to the next class, whatever we have learned today, see that you have memorized each and every sentence. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.